Look in the sky. Something bound to catch your eye. A brand new planet shaped just like our own. It's on its own. And if you turn down the wrong road, you can sometimes hear its noise. A disconnected voice that's singing, come one, come all. We can make your dreams come true. Give your hopes and fears to us. They'll not come back to you. They're singing, come one, come all. You've got nothing left to lose except some time, your blood, your life. But what good was that anyway? It was once a beautiful, bright place. But that was just to lead us here. It feeds on fear, and power grows. And when it grabs you, it won't let go. And I can feel it reach for me. Oh, the things it's promising me. It's singing, come one, come all. We can make your dreams come true. Give your hopes and fears to us. They'll not come back to you. They're singing, come one, come all. You've got nothing left to lose except some time, your blood, your life. What good was that anyway?
This is an all-music episode. We are here with Michael Dermott. And
hello.
You just heard, you just heard a little bit of Destiny Park, and we'll be hearing a little bit more music from Michael tonight. Michael, how are you doing, and what are you drinking?
Just some eggnog, non-alcoholic, and I'm doing good,
Hey, are you drunk?
I have my first beer at 12:45 today.
You know, I'm more into coffee right now just because of I work at a coffee place, so I haven't really been drinking much except specialty drinks that only girls drink.
We were watching Dad last night. We're like we're way behind on it, right? We're watching it on Netflix. Anyway, there's, like, this whole storyline where, like, two of the people on the show are doing meth and heroin.
Mm.
And I was like, why would you do that? They cancel each other out. And then I realized that I do that on a much larger scale all the time. I drink coffee all day, and then I crack a beer at night. It just seems like, okay, if I was going to do hard drugs, I might actually do meth and heroin.
Well,
maybe.
You know, they do, they do cancel each other out, and I think it's a very healthy way to get addicted to hardcore drugs is by at least being varied with it.
Right, yeah.
You gotta level yourself out a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want to be in a rut.
Just take the edge off with some heroin and meth, of course.
Oh, I forgot to say what I was. I'm drinking a Big Swell IPA from the Maui Brewing Company. It's all right.
Maui?
That's Maui, as in like Hawaii.
Maui Waui?
No, that's pot. This is beer.
I apologize. I just like words that rhyme.
What do you think is enough?
I've got a Blue Moon Winter Abbey Ale, because winter's almost over, or it's just beginning. I don't know which.
I think it's just beginning. It finally decided that it was winter in the desert, like yesterday. I've been freezing my ass off. But thank God, there's not a hole in my house anymore.
It's still
there's
like
been
in the 50s here.
Really?
Apparently we don't get winter anymore.
Well,
yeah,
we should look into that.
Yeah, the Minnesota hasn't had much snow, you know, until the last like week or so. It's been snowing finally, but last year there was like no snow at all, and it was just kind of awkward. It didn't really work.
I know it was here. We didn't have a winter at all last year. We usually have at least one good snow. Nothing. It's crazy.
Yeah, well.
Al Gore's right. I think this is, it's global warming. The polar bears are all going to die and the world's going to end.
Yeah, well,
everything is fine here. It's boiling motherfucking hot when it's supposed to be boiling motherfucking hot. And it is just cold enough that you don't want to be outside in the winter. It's a perfect balance. It's like this every year. Except for the first year we lived here, we got like a freak snowstorm where we got like 18 inches of snow and all the snow piles were on the other side of the mountain where it was supposed to snow. So other than that, that was just one time.
But
la-dee-da, California.
What about the polar bears, though?
Yeah, what about
there
the polar bears?
There aren't any polar bears in the desert, so we don't worry. Like, that's not... They'd be desert.
Don't worry about them when they're gone.
Yeah.
Then it'll be too
but
late.
There, if there are no polar bears in the desert, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. All I know is that when I used to watch those documentary programs when I was a child, I didn't like the polar bears much because they killed things and they weren't very nice, like the ones at the zoo. So, you know, less polar bears. Yeah.
Are you polar bear racist?
No. I've never met one that impressed me or endeared itself to me.
Yeah, but if
I've
you were saying that
a polar
about
bear,
bears,
but from what I understand, they love to play.
Mm-hmm.
The polar bears at the San Diego Zoo, if you go when they're playing, it's beautiful.
Yeah, but those are, you know.
You have me on the inside. They're playing with, like, balls and, like, they're diving into the water, and they bring in snow once a year, and they slide down on their butts like it's like a water slide.
That makes
I heard a rumor, Michael, that you recently finished a book.
Finished a book?
Reading
did
a book.
Did you read a book?
Yeah. I did finish reading a book. That's correct. I did not write one for any rumor mongers out there. I finished reading Jurassic Park by Michael Crichton.
Yeah.
Crichton. Okay. All right. But I thought it was really good. Really good, in fact.
I didn't read that one. I read the one that came after it, The Lost World. It's been a few years. But it was fun. It was a good ride. There's a lot of science in it, so I got confused because I'm not smart. But, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. And then I read the book, and then I watched the movie right afterward. And it was really disappointing. I've never been that person who you know, says, oh, the book was better when someone brings up a movie. But I would be that person now for that movie because, I had imagined one character to be British, and then he was played by Jeff Goldblum. So it didn't work out so well. And then
had you not seen the movie yet when you read it?
I saw it when I was like 5. So
oh, okay.
I couldn't remember what anything looked like except for the T-Rex.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I remembered the girl kinda, not like a, like the little girl because she was so annoying. And that was the other thing was that the kids were just so annoying. It was just ugh.
I forgot that there was even a girl in the movie, so.
I forgot there were humans in the movie. I thought it was just a bunch of dinosaurs running around. No plot.
I wish it had been.
Right.
I forget everybody's younger than
that's
me.
That's Jurassic Park 3.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's right. I saw that in a drive-thru with my fam.
You saw the drive-through?
Yes.
Like a drive-up?
Drive-in.
Drive-through. Drive-in, excuse me. You just drove right through the projector, you know.
Just doing laps.
Yeah. You just
like
keep on driving by it. They were
that's
watching
why,
it.
That's
the,
why you didn't realize there was a
plot, basically.
Yeah.
They were just watching it, and I was like, hey, can I have a, you know, I have a chicken nuggets, and they were like, shh, watch this movie, man.
So I don't know if you were aware of this, but the world is going to end in a couple days.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer because, like, I spent a lot of money on Christmas presents. But anyway, all these websites are putting out their books of their lists of books that you have to read before the world ends because, like, they're actually pretending like it's going to happen. Anyway, so I thought reading most of these lists, they weren't very good. I'm asking people on the show, Jessica, Michael, Ghost Dakota, because Dakota is not here. We totally forgot to mention that.
Dakota might be here later.
He might drop by. What book, if you were going to take somebody, put your hands on the sides of their face and shake their head dramatically, like with your face real close to their face, you're like, you have to read this book before the end of the world, because that's obviously the most important thing you have to do if the world is going to end, is read a book.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to read,
be with your family.
Book, well, you can read. They can read. You could all sit on the couch next to each other and read. Point is, what book would you?
Okay.
I don't, Renee. What book would you do?
Well, the world is ending, right? So it doesn't have to be like life-changing or anything. I'm gonna come out of left field, and I'm gonna say the Watchmen comic, the graphic novel, The Watchmen.
Just because you think it'll be fun.
It's a fun read. It's colorful. It's got several storylines going through it, and the way that they make. Like, there's a comic within the comic, and the way they make that work, which they totally left out of the movie, by the way. The way they make it work is awesome. And it's, like, a lot of really original ideas that haven't been done to death since the book came out. And, like, there's superheroes, and there's a Eldritch Abomination at the end. And there's art. Like, there's artists in the book, and then obviously there's art because it's a graphic novel. It's just great. It's colorful. There's pirates. Again,
there's pirates.
In the book.
Oh.
In the story within the story.
Yeah.
Oh.
That also is very pertinent because the last line of the book, but I could be wrong. There's the line, nothing ever ends, Adrian. Nothing ever ends.
See?
And then it could be nice and soothing as the world ends.
A little hope in the world. Yeah, nothing ever ends. And then it does.
Yeah, just a glimmer of hope before it all goes away.
I'd rather die hopeful, really, I think.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to die cynical. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I'd rather not die, you know, in a few days.
I don't know the world's going to end. I just, like, secret here. I think that maybe it's a hoax and that we're probably all going to be fine. I know, we're going to
get mad
about this, but anyway.
I'll figure.
Hmm.
A feeling I have, a hunch.
Okay. No, they, not to, you know, spoiler alert, but they did find, you know, a calendar that showed many years beyond 2012.
Did they really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Google that shit.
Well, you could also, like, the fact that Mayans believed in cycles, and so this would just be the end of a cycle. It wouldn't be the end of the world.
Well, the Fraggle world ended in, 1991, didn't it?
Uh-huh.
The Fraggle world? Fraggle Rock?
Oh, yeah, and that's really the one that matters to me, so.
Well, I that's what they said, Fraggle. Fraggle Rock.
Oh, Gimli.
Is it really 91? Anyway, what book, if you believe that the world is going to end, if you really believed it in your heart of hearts, and you were going to tell someone you loved, this is the book you must read before the end of the world, you only have a couple days, what book would it be?
Okay. I got to think of someone I love. Oh, that's tough. my dog can't read. So.
Okay, just pretend your dog is actually a human and has the ability to read. What would you tell your dog?
Oh, wow. Mind blown. Okay. Let me think here.
Open so many possibilities.
Yeah, now that changes everything. No. I'm just going to think here for a sec because right now I just keep going to where the red fern grows, but that's just because it's like one of my all-time favorite books.
That's kind of a fucked up book to have your dog read, though. Doesn't the dog die in that one?
Well, okay, you know, let's move past that. let's pretend I have human friends or family members who I care about. All right, so in thinking like that, I would probably say. Where the Red Fern Grows was a very good book. I'm trying to think of something that's, like, better than that. Because that's just got so much nostalgia.
Funny, right?
Yeah.
No, I think that's good. I think if you have not read this book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should read it. That's fine.
I mean, when I read that, it's like, you know, life is worth living or something.
Well, then, yeah, that's the one.
That's the one. Yeah.
Love it.
All right, Jessica, you're on the spot.
It is hard. I think probably I would go, my favorite book is Franny and Zoe by Salinger, and that would probably be the one that I would pick to read just because it makes me, I just like it. It makes me feel good when I read it. Most people hate that book. So if I was just, if I was going to suggest one to someone else, I probably just wouldn't. I'd probably just let them die watching television like ignorant fucks.
Yeah.
But,
oh, I have a secret second option. If the people that I'm making recommendations to have already read the Watchmen, I would recommend to them to read Tropic of Cancer by Henry Miller because it is impossible not to be astounded, amazed, and fascinated by the gratuitous use of the word cunt in a book written in the 1930s.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Is that the first time we threw cunt out? No, we said it before. I did.
Yeah, I'm sure we have. My own distance of that word is just ridiculous now.
There's a book that I just finished reading. It's not like a fiction book or something. It's a compilation of interviews, and it's called Everybody Loves You When You're Dead.
Ooh.
And it's by the guy who
did the... That's a great book for you to be in the world.
Yeah.
Well, title notwithstanding, it's actually just a bunch of interviews with celebrities, but I felt like I learned a lot about humanity from that book, and it was a pretty intense, in-depth read. And it's by the same guy who did The Game, the pickup artist type thing. So, you know, So, you know he knows about people. But actually, I changed my second choice to the pickup artist.
Oh, nice.
So you can learn how to pick up people. Although you don't need that much help when the world's ending.
Yeah.
That's
I feel
true.
Like you just grab the nearest person with compatible genitals and you're like, look outside, the world is ending.
Compatible. I mean, aren't most genitals compatible?
It depends on your preferences. I'm not suggesting. Yeah.
Let's not get too into it. Let's not think too hard on this.
Okay.
Unless it begs for a reason. Okay. So here's something fun. Now, what book would you recommend for someone to read at the end of the world if you absolutely hated them and you wanted them to go out being miserable?
Oh, I got this.
What?
Finnegan's Wake.
Ooh. Why?
Yeah. Why? Just because it's so hard for the average person to read it and understand it. I'm just thinking about normal Joes here.
Yeah.
Then who does that again? What, James Joyce? Is that it?
I think so.
I'm not sure.
I'm trying to think of what the last book I absolutely hated was. Do you have one, Jessica?
I don't. I'm terrible at this. We should have thought of these questions in advance.
Yeah.
I'm like looking at my own bookshelf, and I'm like, why would I have books I hate here on my bookshelf?
That's kind of what I'm hearing, too, and it's only like one small portion of my bookshelf because I'm not in the main part of the house.
Oh, no, not the main part of the house. If somebody I hated... Oh, okay, The Alchemist.
Okay, why?
It annoyed me.
Oh, I know. I've got one. Assuming that the person I'm recommending this to isn't, like, super into this. I would recommend someone read a highlight reel of the horrible, awful sex scenes in 50 Shades of Grey. Like, just over and over again with the asparagus fellatio and the used condoms in suit pant pockets and carrying tampons out with your teeth.
Ugh.
What? I would recommend.
Jesus.
Cool.
Now, I heard that was originally a Twilight fan fiction.
It was.
Yeah.
Is that true? Okay.
Yep.
God, I really was hoping that my brother was making that up or something. That's just, God, why did that happen?
Because the world is
people
scary.
Are lonely.
Ugh. God.
That's all I got.
That's a sign that, you know, the Mayans might be right. And I know that's an overused sentiment, but that book series.
I can't wait
till
we can stop talking about those Mayans next year.
Yeah, really.
All I want. What's your wish for the new year? To stop talking about the Mayans? That's mine.
Okay. Like, is it a personal wish or a...
Yes.
Okay, personal
yeah.
wish. Okay. I wish that a lot of good music would come out. That's a really fantastic. Personal wish. I know.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we have a segue.
Sorry, you do music, don't you?
You do music, don't you?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I do. Wow.
Isn't that why we brought you on the show?
Oh, yeah. That was seamless.
We're professionals here.
Yeah.
So you have out now, available on Bandcamp, and, of course, we will link that up in the episode notes, is Distance Reawakens. But I understand that you have something new coming out as well?
Yeah. I have a new album that's just being finished now called Pilot. And that's going to be coming out in April 2013. And I don't have a date set yet, but I will probably do that soon. I should probably get on that.
So before the show, we were all talking about your awesome music video available on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So much fun.
Yeah, totally fun. This is one of those videos that, you know, like, whenever we have musical guests on and they have awesome music videos, we like to talk about the music videos because it's like YouTube is, like, bringing that back.
Totally.
Because, like, you know, when I'm going to date myself, but when I was a kid, they played music videos on MTV and VH1. And then, like, as I grew older, as I got into high school and out of high school and whatever, it just happened less and less and less, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now everybody has at their fingertips the ability to watch music videos on YouTube, and even the big bands are doing it. But we like to talk about that. And I want to ask you, how did you decide on the concept for this video? For our listeners at home, I'm going to link the music video up, and they'll be able to watch it. But basically what it is it's like a found footage, almost horror, like campy horror movie type concept. So how'd you come up with that idea?
Well, as I was getting these rough recordings done of my, you know, of this upcoming album, I thought they all sounded really good, and I really wanted to do a music video, but my budget is, it's non-existent. I'm not on a label or anything. So I thought, you know, I want to do a music video this time, because last time I didn't. And I thought I want to do something really cheap that I can do with some friends and family. And one of my favorite things on YouTube, and you should probably link this in the episode notes, is Marble Hornets, which is a web series based on Something Awful Forum's creation of Slender Man. That's the character's name in the video, Slender Man. And,
okay.
Yeah, so what I wanted to do was do a little parody of that, and put a catchy song next to it that people might remember, that people who liked my first album would like, but also that would draw more people than that album did. And sound footage is like my favorite genre ever. I feel like there's just so much that can be done with that. So it was really fun and also really, you know, really cool for me.
I'm just going to make a recommendation.
How long have you had that hat?
The hat? How long have I had it?
Yeah. How long have you had that hat?
Found it in a closet somewhere. The management gave me that hat. No. I you know, it's just something in the house lying around. And then I said, hey, this would be cool to wear in the video. I don't really know why I wore it, to be honest with you.
I like it though.
Yeah,
when it
it's
falls
pretty cool.
off at the beginning of the video. When it falls off, was that on purpose, or did that just happen and you were like, whatever?
That just happened, and then the video editor, when he sent me the rough cut of that intro, you know, I he had a take where it didn't fall off. And I said, oh, man, you got to put that take in where it falls off. And he's like, was that intentional? And I'm like, no, it was a mistake. And he's like, well, then why would you want to use it? And I said, well, it's funny.
Yeah.
I got a kick out of that just because you can see how frustrated I get. You know, like I immediately try to grab it, but I probably would have fallen off my bike if I actually tried to put it back on.
Yeah.
That didn't happen, luckily.
I would have liked that to be in the video, too, if you'd fallen off, but okay. Okay.
That's like in Fight Club when Tyler Durden falls off the tricycle, and it was originally an accident, but they had to reshoot it, and so he had to pretend to fall off the tricycle.
Oh, God. there are some outtakes from the video that I really want to post up, but most of them are just involving, there's a scene where I am, like, juggling my phone pretty much, where it's, like, flying out of my hands because I'm so nervous that I saw the Slender Man in the footage. And we just, we had a hoot filming that scene. Just couldn't keep a straight face. And it was, I'm probably going to put that on the Facebook page at some point.
Awesome. What happened to your Facebook, by the way? Your personal one?
No.
You went Michael Jackson.
Don't ask about that.
You went all incognito.
Listen, I, you know, the media won't give me any privacy.
I understand.
No.
I have similar issues.
Really, goes back to what...
Go ahead.
Proceed. Okay. It just goes back to what we were talking about earlier about people posting about the Mayans, and I got really tired of other people on there. And that sounds antisocial, I know, but, like, if you have to hide, 50 or 60% of the people on Facebook because of their various political beliefs or Mayan beliefs, then I don't think you should do it anymore. So I it's not fun for me anymore, so I'm taking a break, and it feels good so far.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I actually am doing something kind of similar. I can't deactivate my account because we run the Facebook pages and stuff off of my account, and we have our little secret groups where we discuss what's going to happen on the show, and it doesn't go to plan anyway. But I've removed myself from my news feed the last week. It's been amazing.
Yeah, that news feed is just it's terrible. I mean, God, you know, the thing about Facebook that I can't stand, and you may have to edit this out because we're going off on a tangent, but I can't stand when some horrible thing happens in the news, and, you know, obviously it's terrible, but I feel like a lot of people have this aggrandized opinion of themselves where, like, they feel like, I need to make a statement about this. And you know, they just keep posting about it and keep saying all this stuff, like, everyone's waiting for their thoughts on it, and it's just, I don't know, that just bothers me a bit. Like, I try to avoid commenting on that stuff, but, meh.
Well, and the thing is again, like you said, an aggrandized opinion of themselves. They also believe that, well, I think in general people feel like Facebook is their platform to speak to a lot of people at once, and we have this flawed perception of reality where we believe that if a lot of people are listening, what you're saying is important.
Right.
So I have friends of varying political and ideological beliefs, and I realized that all of them were wrong, and they were being really loud and awful about it. And so, so instead of going individually and, like you said, hiding everybody or telling them all how wrong they were, or posting on my Facebook some grandiose comment about how you guys are all wrong, you're all being assholes, I was like, I'm just not gonna participate. It was the response to me. I posted on Facebook, I'm taking a hiatus from Facebook. And my phone immediately started blowing up with text messages.
Oh, dear.
Like you left Facebook. Something must be wrong. Are you dying? Like, it's not, like, it's unheard of. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's Christmas. I just want to spend Christmas with my family. That's it. The world might end in a few days. I just want to stay off Facebook. Just in case.
Yeah.
If I just left Facebook for a few days, and didn't tell anyone, no one would notice. So that's how good I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a few people have noticed, so I'm happy about that. you got to be doing something right if that happens.
There you go.
No, but the reason you can't delete anybody, and this is the last comment I have about Facebook, you can't go around deleting people you don't like because some of them you actually see in real life, or
right,
you know, they notice, and then they message you and ask, why'd you delete me? And then you feel like a jerk. So, yeah, you just, you know, sometimes you need a little break, and that's what I'm doing.
Nice.
Ross and Rachel style.
Yeah.
Friends.
Because you're going to go back, and I'm going to go back.
Right. Well,
whatever.
I never left.
This is fresh, though. It's fresh right now. That's what's cool. Anywho, we were talking about some sort of Slender Man or something.
Yeah.
Somebody on the show has some music or something.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So when did you start working on this new album that you've got? Like, how long does this take? Music's amazing to me.
Okay. Yeah, it's all right to me. I started working on it. After my first album, I was just, you know, wondering where to go for a little while because I did a few different weird things on that. Like, there's a song called Hold Me Back, which is like a hard rock, heavy metal-ish, weird, immature thing. And then there's Bored to Death, which is super poppy and fun and depressing lyrics. And I started trying to get an album together around this time last year. I had a lot of heavy riffs and stuff, and I really had no direction for it until, my name is Michael Dermott, and that I got the name Dermott, that's my middle name, from my grandpa, and he got really, really sick around this time last year, so that totally changed the direction where I was going, and I said that I just wanted the next thing I do to be, like, actually great, as opposed to here's 9 or 10 songs that sort of sound like they fit together. So that's when I started getting really serious about it. The single, No Through Road, was actually supposed to have him whistle on it, but it didn't work out so well. He got too sick to go into a studio, and then, you know, he passed away recently. So, it's pretty cool to have something in memory of him. For a while, I was wondering if I should do it. I just said he would want the whistles to continue, the whistles of the world.
Well, that's really nice. That's a really good way to keep him with you. So that's good.
Yeah.
So
I can't whistle.
is this like you said? This is like your attempt at doing something that's really great. So what is going to be the major difference, I guess, between the first album and the second album? Because our listeners are going to be able to go to Bandcamp and check out the first album, like, as soon as they hear the show. But they're going to have to wait for the second album. So, like, what...
Right.
If they love the first album, what should they know about the second one?
The second one is less introverted, more energetic. I wanted to create something that was... took you on a more fantastic journey, but still seemed to take place in the real world, whereas, like, the first album just seems to take place in someone's head. I would say this one has a lot more raw rock energy, and it's just it's a lot of fun, a lot of good cathartic emotion.
Nice. Sounds good. So we are getting a little bit short on time.
Okay.
Good deal.
Is there anything that you just feel like you have to get in before the show's over? And it could, as you may have noticed through the course of the show, it could literally be anything that you feel like you want to say.
anything I want to say. Let's see. Oh, I guess I just want to say that I've kept this quiet for a bit, but this album is a concept album with a storyline and characters, multiple viewpoints on each song. And I was inspired by some of the classic concept albums like Quadrophenia, Songs from the Black Hole, which never actually came out, by Weezer. And, you know, so this one will probably never come out. But and then I don't know. I just I would love for, you know, people to really dig it, man. That's all I gotta say.
I actually really love concept albums. I really do. And a band I liked came out with one a few years ago, and they did like short films and music videos that were more like short films. It was like a whole experience, and I love that. So I'll check out the concept album. I know some people like criticize the concept album, but I think it's awesome. And it all relates back, right? You're on Books and Booze. You're telling a story with your music. It's great.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's really fun, you know, like to have recurring themes throughout, you know, the long play format. It doesn't have to be like Excalibur, Arthur pulling Excalibur out or whatever. Like, so there's
right.
a lot of really cheesy concept albums. I'll admit that. But
there are some great ones, too.
Yeah, you just got to be a little subtle about it. Like,
I think the thing is, too, is that you have to have songs that will stand on their own and
right.
make sense by themselves. Like, if you throw your music on shuffle, that you're not like, this, I don't get this song. But if you
right.
can have, like, a lot of really strong, awesome songs that, when played together in order, kind of weave a storyline together or weave a theme together, then that's, like, it could be a really great experience.
Oh, totally.
In my opinion.
And I didn't, and I didn't write this, like, thinking, oh, God, it has to be a concept album. Oh, how does this song relate to the storyline? Like, I just wrote songs, and I realized, like, certain details kept reappearing or chord progressions seem to, you know, not like they repeat and you can tell, but like there's a few musical references that weren't, I don't know, weren't planned as part of a concept album. But anyway, I wrote the songs and then I put them together and I formed the storyline around the music, whereas some people sort of force it and try to think of a storyline and then write music. And I can't write like that, but, you know,
yeah.
Kudos to those folks who can.
Awesome. Well, I'm really excited to hear that when it comes out.
Thank you.
So, lots of exciting stuff. I think that I hope that everyone listening to the show has enjoyed our special music-only edition and is going to go check out Distance Reawakens. And then you let us know when the new album comes out, and we'll make sure that the Books and Booze crowd knows when it's out so they can listen to that as well. Just real quick, I have a really important piece of business to take care of. I think that if anyone pays attention to us, a few people do, or if you get the newsletter, you're probably wondering why this was a special music-only episode when I said that we were going to have Lydia Yuknovich on the show and also have a musical guest. And the reason why is because we love you guys so much, we wanted you to have two episodes of Books and Booze to listen to during your Christmas travels. So you're going to have this full-length music-only episode, and then over the weekend we're going to put up a full-length episode with Lydia. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. And, I mean, hopefully the world doesn't end, because I would just really suck if we didn't get to talk to Lydia before the world ended.
I got my 2 cents in. That's all right.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
there you go.
And that's what's important, is
yep.
that Michael got his 2 cents in. thanks for joining us this week. And, like, as always, we're going to throw up a shit ton of links. I don't know why I got afraid to say shit all of a sudden. I said cunt earlier in the show.
Is there straight edge?
On the radio.
No, we're not. anyway, I hope everybody listening has a great winter season, whatever it is that you celebrate, whether it be Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, winter solstice, or just, you know, if you like being cold, you just don't celebrate anything, but being cold is nice for you. If you don't like being cold, get warm. Anyway, I hope that all our listeners at home are going to have a great week. Like I said, we're going to have another episode up with Lydia this weekend, and then we'll have another episode that we're recording the day after Christmas, and we are going to stick around this holiday season. We do take a lot of holidays off, but we decided to work extra hard. That's about it. We're going to go out listening to another song by Michael, and this one is called, hold on, sorry, No Through Road. And this is actually the song that is the video that we were talking about earlier in the show. So kick back, finish your drink, have a great week, and you'll hear from us again sometime this weekend.
Maybe Dakota too.
Maybe Dakota too.
Help me understand the why and how that someone so restrained could be so loud. Me.